just because you can take mandamus doesn't mean you should take mandamus. And I think especially at CLEs, we focus too much on the academics and not on the practicality. And so I would encourage anybody who's considering mandamus to go through the practical analysis of whether it's the right decision in that case. Consider the consequences. If you're looking to take mandamus against a court, how might the court react? Are you, having taken the temperature of the judge, is it your sense that the judge will retaliate against your client in other ways in that litigation? Or will the judge retaliate against you in other cases and harm even more clients? Is this a judge who's a bully who needs to be taught a lesson? If you don't stop the judge now, will he continue to violate the law against other people? My general philosophy is that good judges, and what I mean by good judges are the ones who treat everybody fairly and respectfully and try to get it right, and even though they may get it wrong sometimes, they understand the role that each of us plays in the profession. Those good judges who make bad decisions are going to understand that you're doing what you need to do in your client's best interest. And I will always do what will serve my client and what I think the law requires. Now, another important consideration is, are you going to get a stay of the trial court proceedings? If you're close to a trial or if you're in a trial and you want to take mandamus, and if the trial court is not going to stay the trial court proceedings, that kind of throws a wrench in whether you can do it. And if the trial court won't stay the proceedings, can you get a higher court to issue an emergency stay of the proceedings? If you can't, that's probably a good sign that you wouldn't get mandamus relief anyway if the court's not even willing to call time out to consider the question. But whether you can stop the proceedings in the trial court is going to be an important practical consideration in whether you should take mandamus. Also, I encourage you to consider, if you are going to get a stay, is that delay going to have adverse consequences on your case? I mean, if you represent a defendant who's in custody and not on bond, in the grand scheme of things, is the net gain from seeking and obtaining mandamus relief going to outweigh the cost of staying in custody for whatever period of time it's going to take to resolve the mandamus? If you're the state and you're thinking about taking mandamus that would cause a delay in the trial court proceedings, and if the court is willing to stay those proceedings, is that going to prevent you from being able to get a verdict and or risk a mistrial? So these are practical considerations that I encourage everybody to take into account when trying to decide whether you should take mandamus. All right, you got your adverse decision. You've concluded that you can take mandamus. You've concluded that you should take mandamus. How do you do it? I think it's always important to make sure that we're all using the same vocabulary, and the terminology is different in the context of mandamus than from any of the other areas of criminal law. And so it's important to understand the party that seeks relief is the relator. The respondent is the party against whom relief is sought. A judge, a court, an officer of some agency or other person. The real party in interest is a party to the case who would be directly affected by the relief sought. So those are your players, your relator, your respondent, and your real party in interest. We don't encounter those terms in other areas of criminal law. It's important we use the right language. If we don't use the right language, we're signaling to the court that we really don't know what we're doing. So, an example, the state seeks relief against the trial court. The state is the relator, the trial court is the respondent, the defendant is the real party in interest. The pleading is called a petition for a writ of mandamus. Sometimes it's also referred to as an application, but the party seeking relief is never the petitioner or the applicant, it's the relator. All right, enough of that, move along. Where do you file? This can be kind of tricky. I want to try and make it as simple as I can. Number one, and this may be elementary, but if you hadn't done one of these before, you don't file a mandamus petition in the court of the respondent. In other words, and let me skin it the other way. If you're going to do a pretrial writ, a habeas corpus, you file that in the trial court denies relief, you file a notice of appeal, you take it up like a direct appeal. Mandamus don't work that way. You don't file the mandamus in the trial court. If you're going to try and mandamus the trial court, be it a district court or a county court, the legislature has said you got to start in the court of appeals. One more time. If you're going to mandamus a district or county court, the ball game is played first in the court of appeals. It's an original action filed in that court. If you lose in the court of appeals and you want to challenge the decision of the court of appeals, raise your hand if you think you file a PDR, like anything else. Y'all are so smart. You do not file a PDR. Instead, you're doing another original writ in the court of criminal appeals. Okay, got that down. When do you file in the court of criminal appeals? First. If you're seeking mandamus against any government actor or any judge other than a district court or a county court. So that includes a district attorney, a district clerk, a court of appeals, the parole board,